Your body's ability to heal is greater than anyone has permitted you to believe. My name is Andrea, and this is Adult Child. Welcome back to Adult Child, where we take a deep dive into the impact of growing up in a dysfunctional family. Ahoy, my dear situation. What up? For any new listeners, my name is Andrea. I am a total and complete shit show. And I created this podcast to, one, reach as many people as possible who are once in the shoes that I once was, completely oblivious to how much my unresolved childhood trauma was fucking up my life as an adult. Two, that there is nothing shameful or embarrassing about having your dysfunctional upbringing impact your life as an adult. And three, to let you know that healing is absolutely possible for you. So welcome aboard, buckle up. It gets weird here sometimes, okay? So today we're diving into a topic that I really didn't know anything about, quantum healing. So I am joined by Andrea Ray. She's been a drug and alcohol counselor for a long ass time. She's sober as well. And she recently just started her coaching business. So she is a quantum healing coach. What the hell does that mean? Good question. So quantum healing is essentially combining energy healing with quantum physics and quantum biology. It is a type of alternative medicine that describe healing processes that involve the influence of consciousness, energy fields, and quantum phenomena on health and well-being. It is the belief that our bodies have an energy field that can be influenced by thoughts, emotions, and external energies. We're talking about light. We're talking about emotional code therapy. One of these processes of quantum healing, so she's going to tell you about that. But essentially, its position is that, you know, our unresolved childhood trauma, the emotions related to that, are trapped in our body energetically, like in our energy field. So it views trauma as trapped emotional energies within our body, disrupting the body's energy field. So it's this mind-body connection, but different than what, you know, we typically would talk about here as far as, you know, body keeps the score in our nervous system. Emotional code therapy views this mind-body connection with the body being the energetic field of the body. She's going to do a much better job of explaining all of this shit to you. So let's get the damn show on the road. But first, let's talk about why you, yes, you need to damn the Join Shit Show. This is my online support community where I host multiple weekly Zoom support groups. This is where you can connect to other fellow shit shows who are doing the damn work to heal, who are serious about their recovery, but also don't want to take themselves too damn seriously all the time. This is where we talk about serious shit, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. We just had this past weekend, we had our third shit show meetup in Chicago. A bunch of us shit shows gathered and had fun and played games and ate. We went to the zoo. I got my face painted. We went to Dave and Buster's. We just had a good old time. You know, one of the traits of an adult child is, and I don't relate to this, but that adult children don't know how to have fun. And, it's so important that we learn how to have fun. And this is a community where you can learn to do so. So how about you damn the Join Shit Show, the person that's been wanting to join for forever. There's like a million of you guys that is applicable to listening to this right now. So let's just do the damn thing. Less than $1 a day. You can quit after a month. You got no excuses, okay? See the link in the show notes to join next. sign up for my newsletter, Shitshow Nation. See the link in the bio there too. I send out a weekly video newsletter. Three, give me a damn follow on the TikTok, on the Insta, at Adult Child Pod. And last but not least, give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple, on Spotify. Thank you, love you all. All right, y'all. We have somebody who spells her name very similar to mine, except for instead of an R, she decided to put an E. Andea Ray, quantum recovery coach, licensed counselor. You know what? I tried to look at this quantum shit. Like, I tried to do as much research before, but I mean, I think that you're just going to have to explain everything to me in this conversation because it's a little bit above my head. Welcome.
Thank you, Andrea.
Do you get called Andrea a lot?
I do.
Yeah. What's the story behind your name?
I asked my mom that once. So my mom's name is
messed
Cindy.
Up the R. Like they just like she like the hospital thought she wrote an E, but it was really an R.
So my mom's name is Cindy with two E's. And so I'm the oldest of seven. And so she named all of us girls. We all have two E's in our name and our middle names rhyme.
Okay.
So it's Andea Ray, Aaliyah May, Brady K, and Cammie Shea.
Okay, but that's still not like telling us about Andea.
No, I'm getting there. Okay. So Andea is actually derived from Andy Gibb.
Of the Bee Gees.
Who my mom had a crush on. And she wanted to, she wanted to make up a name. So she made up my name.
That's amazing. That's the best name story ever. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing for you. Well, at least one of them. Wow. One time my mom was in an elevator with the Bee Gees.
Okay.
Very nice. I hope she wrote to him to tell him that because like, that's amazing. I mean, have you ever looked it up? Is there anybody else in this world that has that name? Have you ever looked it up?
I have. I have seen an Andea and I can't remember if it was like a really, really long time ago when like Facebook first came out. I remember being curious if anyone had my name and there was an Andea, but I've never met an Andea.
Well, here's the deal. You say, okay, it's only two choices, right? It's either their parent also was a huge Bee Gees fan or the R and the E are right next to each other on a keyboard, right?
Yep. I just had
to check
that.
So there was either like
yes,
a slip of the finger or they both should have been in the Bee Gees biggest fan clubs ever. That's so funny. All right. What about, so you just named your other siblings' names. Are any of those, I can't remember, were any of them made up names? Do we have any other good ones in there?
So Aaliyah is made up and
That's a name.
Aaliyah. Yeah. Well, it's spelled with the spelling.
Okay.
So they all have two E's and then Brady with two E's and Cammie with two E's. Cammie was actually our imaginary friend and we called her Cammie. And so Cammie ended up being our sister Cammie.
Cammie.
Yes, we would always play Office and we had an imaginary extra person who we would play around with and
Cammie. Yeah. What's with the obsession with the two E's?
Well, my mom's name is Cindy with two E's.
Oh, yeah, you said that. Okay. Yeah. That's so funny. Interesting. Okay, well, where do we want to begin? I guess, so you've been sober for 15 years.
16 next month.
Oh, amazing.
Or wait, no. Oh my God. Next, in a week and a half, something like that. But I can get to that little bit of that.
Well, so we got sober the same year, 2008?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm September 13, 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. In the same litter.
Yes.
Yeah. Paint the picture. Tell me about your bottom.
So my bottom was my best friend died. And so I was like, well, if I continue this, I'm going to end up dead. So what? I have to do something.
How did she die?
She died in a car accident, but there was, you know, drugs were involved, heavily involved.
Did you think that you had a problem at that point?
Oh yeah. Cause I had tried to quit for many years. And I would always just go back to it because it was what I knew. So my use spanned over my heavy use spanned over a 12-year period. And yeah, I had an eating disorder and then a methamphetamine problem that would like yo each other. If one was not active, then the other one was taking over. Mm-hmm. I actually taught myself to have an eating disorder. I was called too fat when I was young And that really stuck with me. And I was, you know, looking around at other people. I'm like, something must be wrong with me. Well, I better fix this because I kept being bullied and really never fit in, right? So I went to the library and I knew about eating disorders. I'm like, maybe having an eating disorder would fix it. I mean, typically it kind of, I think for most people, it just happens naturally, these things. And
yeah,
I went ahead
out of
and
sense of
like,
control. Yeah.
I just was like, that's going to fix my problem. Let's go read about it a little bit to see how to do it. And that's what I did.
How old were you?
That was when I was, well, so that instance when someone told me I was too fat to be their gym partner was when I was in eighth grade. So teenage years.
That's rough.
Whatever age we are when we're in eighth grade.
Had you had any body issues prior to that? Like any self-consciousness?
I think I did just because there was bullying happening. So I was like, well, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And I couldn't pinpoint it because I actually wasn't any heavier than the rest of my class. There, you know, there were other people who looked just like me as far as body size, but that really distorted it. And oh my gosh, did that body dysmorphia really, like that body dysmorphia went into my early recovery years. Like that stuck with me. Like I was always buying clothes that were too big for me, like just that kind of stuff. But the active eating disorder was no longer going, which was the main thing, because that also could have killed me.
Where did you grow up again?
I grew up in a little town in southeast Minnesota, Lake City.
Okay. What was the tone in your home related to food and body image stuff? Was that a theme at all?
Well, my mom like always was exercising. And I think I knew like maybe she did do a little bit of dieting, but it was never like, she didn't ever talk about it. It wasn't like really known.
What you said, you were the oldest of seven?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So what was that experience like?
Yeah, like I remember babysitting and taking care of all my siblings at a really young age. And I was always protecting them because there was abuse in my, you know, I just want to say like my parents were very, very loving and there was sexual abuse by a family member. And so I was always, that was like a secret amongst us children. And, you know, I recently did, well, over the years, I did a lot of like therapy processing it, right? And I always thought like, oh, I processed that, like I processed all my trauma. Not until I found emotional release therapy did I really let go of all the underlying beliefs and the emotions that have been trapped in my body. It's been life-changing. Like a lightness has been lifted. And I always thought like, oh, I processed this enough. Like I did the EMDR and I did this and I did that. But yeah, so when I was young, always protecting them. And yeah, but we had really, other than that, we had a really great, really great childhood.
What age did that start?
I think it happened when I was a baby.
And this is something that was known amongst your siblings, like something that you guys discussed, or you just knew?
No.
No. Okay.
We all just knew. And then when I was old enough to realize what was happening, like I was always getting in trouble for like hurting him. Like I remember one time I was protecting my siblings because he would always like, this is like a lot of detail. So I'm not.
No, we get, anybody. Well, we get,
but if I am triggering anybody,
here.
I just want to say
we
that
we talk about this stuff all the time. Yeah.
So. Okay. So he'd like walk down to the TV room and like get somebody. And I knew he was going to get up. So I took his rock. He couldn't walk very well. So I took the rocking chair recliner and I like put all my weight on it. And so he was now on his back on the floor and couldn't get up. And of course, my grandmother came home and I got in huge trouble for that. Could I say why that I did that? No, because I always thought if I told, I was going to ruin the family. And my mom was so intuitive. Like she would always like every once in a while, she'd sit us down and she'd ask us like, you know, no one touches you in your private parts. Or
was that her parents?
What's that?
Was that her side of the family?
No, it was my dad's. And she intuitively knew like something was happening. And then it wasn't until I was in treatment for eating disorder when I was like 16. And in the treatment, somebody who I was supposed to be trusting, he was like the kind of, I don't even know, he had like, I think he might have been just like a person who to clean up and whatnot. So there was no room on the adolescent ward for me. I was on the children's ward. So this guy, like, he'd always draw your favorite Disney character, put it up on your door, and he'd, you know, make sure you had a, like a drink of water beside your bed. And this one night he had given me my drink and he's like, here's a treat. And it was like 7-Up, but it had like a pink like hue to it. And mind you, I'm in treatment for an eating disorder. Like, I'm not going to drink anything extra. So I just let it sit by my bedside. And in the middle of the night, he was in my room and he was like trying to touch me over the top of my covers. So I kind of like just turned and like I was going to wake up, faked like I was going to wake up, even though I was awake, and he left my room. And the next morning, I was ballistic. I was irate. I was so upset. The team came because I was very upset and they all sat kind of like semicircle around me, my multidisciplinary team. So every single doctor, and they were asking me questions like, tell us what happened. I told them what happened. And, you know, I was like, I was told I'm supposed to trust you. And I started to hyperventilate and I couldn't breathe. And that was the first time that had ever happened in my life, having that experience. And then one of the, after they calmed me down and I was able to breathe, they were like, has this ever happened to you before? And that's when I didn't have a choice anymore to keep it a secret.
And so then how was that? And then you spoke with your parents about it and how was that received?
Yep. Family came together and, you know, it was discussed and talked about and handled. And I was, you know, I didn't actually like, I remember we were all of us, my cousins, and we were like outside my grandparents' house and kind of waiting for everybody to like get done talking. But like, the family came together and family members came from wherever to address the situation. And yeah.
Do you feel like it was addressed? I mean, it, you know, that's pretty heavy stuff.
At the time, no. Deeper.
Yeah. Okay.
At the time, no, I did not think it was addressed. Because I was like, shouldn't he go to jail or something? And yeah, so for a long time, I did not forgive, held on to that resentment. I was in my very, very active use when my grandfather was on his deathbed. And, you know, my mom was calling me and telling me that I have to come. And I remember him, he couldn't speak. And I remember him grabbing my hand and just squeezing it. Like this, like he'd let go and squeeze and let go and squeeze. And I know that that was him apologizing. I could feel it. But I wasn't able to forgive him right then. I was not able to forgive him right then. I still held on to that for a very, very long time. And I've since definitely know I've released it. And also, I'm a true believer that everything that's happened to me in my life had to happen for me to get where I am. Because right now, I am living my best life. And I wouldn't be where I am had all those situations not happened in the exact order that they happened. So very grateful.
Yeah. I mean, I would think the invalidation that I would feel from your parents, like if it's not really being addressed, like here you are like sitting in treatment, you know what I mean? Like it's very similar to my story, right? And it's like kind of scapegoated and here you are manifesting the experiences that, you know, that you've had and yeah, just the kids getting caught in the crossfires, you know, it's fucked up. Had there been further discussion, like, have you been able to express that to your family that you didn't, you know, appreciate how it was initially handled?
I think I did very long time ago. It was a long time ago, so I don't really remember, but I just remember learning that it was work I had to do within myself.
Yeah.
And I took it on to make sure that I got therapy and I was able to process it. And I actually processed it, I think, for actually two, because when we process and process and process something, we keep it alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kept it alive for way too long. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And so, you know, now I know that I've lifted and changed to all the beliefs that stemmed from that time.
Yeah. What do you think those were? Like, what were the kind of the core beliefs that resulted from that?
Oh, I know exactly what they are because of belief code therapy. Belief code. So Dr. Bradley Nelson created the emotion code. So this is a form of emotional release therapy. So there's emotion code, body code, and belief code.
I don't know if I've heard of this emotional release therapy.
It has changed. Like, it has literally allowed me to be the person that I'm meant to be. So quantumly speaking, for anyone intimidated by that word, you don't need to be. It just means we're talking about the really small stuff. So
is that connected with quantum healing? Is this emotional release or it's separate?
No, it is a quantum. It's modality? A quantum modality healing.
Okay.
So our emotions are trapped. We trap our emotions in our body. Yeah. And the thing about emotion code therapy, so our subconscious mind doesn't speak English, speaks in feeling and energy and frequency, right? Mm-hmm. So my conscious mind could be saying, I am confident. I am enough. I am strong, blah, 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 all these affirmations. Mm-hmm. But in my subconscious mind, do I really believe that?
Yeah. And our actions often show otherwise. I mean, that was like the big thing for me was like, okay, on the surface, I think, oh, I have high self-esteem. I have high self-worth. And it's like, well, if you did, you probably wouldn't be getting into these relationships, you know, clearly not.
Yes. Yes. So our behaviors definitely show it. But in my belief code session, like it allows you to see the age of which some of these beliefs. So I had a feeling you'd ask me this. So I actually made sure I wrote them down here. Mm-hmm. So at age 8, I formed a belief that I hate money. At age 18, I had a
pause. From? What's the backstory there?
So so sometimes the practitioner will ask, is there more that needs to be said? So I actually was a correct guess on this one. I had a feeling it came. So when you're Mormon, you're baptized at the age of 8.
Okay.
And you get a ring called a CTR ring. It stands for choose the right. And when you are 8, you now have to pay tithing. And which is 10% of, you know, your income. Well, at age of 8, I'm gathering money from babysitting. I'm working really hard for it. And I didn't want to give any of my money away. I was trying to save my money, right? And so that was accurate. That it was where it came from.
Were you both of your parents raised Mormon? No.
I heard that we were Mormon because my aunts and uncles ended up meeting the Osmonds.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of music themes here. We're heavily, family's heavily influenced by music. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
How did that show up later in life?
I've always lived paycheck to paycheck before, like my life now. Yeah. I had always, when money comes to me, it leaves me. And I never believed that it was something that would come back, but it always did. Like, I never had issues with it. Like, I'm very grateful. Like, I was never homeless. I always had means. In fact, some of my friends used to think I was the cop because I always held a job. I was very responsible in that regard. Yeah. So paycheck to paycheck, always that way. Mm-hmm. And now I look at money a completely different way. And that I know that it is always going to come back to me when I spend and release and circulate money. It's an energy. And it's actually, Bob Proctor says it's a temperature gauge. Mm-hmm. It's a measurement tool.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's very emotionally charged. I mean, that's been a big topic for me. It was such a big theme in my home growing up. You know, it was like alcoholism and money and hyper responsibility around money, which then I went the other way, you know?
Okay.
So... okay. What was the next one you said?
So let's see, I'll start from the young age. So when I was 5, there was 2 that were released. It's never enough. And the other one at age 5 was, I will always be vulnerable. Also 2 that were never released from my traditional therapy. They both stemmed from the sexual abuse. So it's never enough. So at 5, I know around 5 or 6 was when I realized that something was wrong. That I wasn't normal came out when I was 6. And the fact that I need to trust people came out also when I was 6. So I need to trust people. You're telling me I have to trust adults when I have this trusted, so-called trusted adult in my life doing harm. So I remember being in like 1st or 2nd grade or something like that. And we all were brought to the gym. And every single class, so there was, I think, a set of 4, like 1st grades or whatever, we're all together. And I remember sitting on the linoleum gym floor. And I remember that specifically because my hands started to sweat and I couldn't hold myself up when the person talking to us about good touch, bad touch asked us to raise our hand if that ever happened to us, or if we knew what that was or something like that. And I just remember looking around. I remember looking around because, you know, I'm very young and this is the first time I heard this in a public setting like this. and no one else was raising their hand. So I immediately like started getting nervous and my hands were sweating. I couldn't hold myself up sitting on the ground anymore. Kept sliding back, and I was just really wanting that meeting to be over. And so just suppressing that down, like, okay. And so that's where that not normal and I need to trust other people came up. And then at 7, I released a belief that said, I can't claim my power. And then they jumped to 12 years old. It says, I talk too much. I didn't know where that one came from. And at 18, I do not deserve forgiveness and everyone is against me. And I will never create anything. And the I will never create anything came from someone else. And then there was also another one that was, if people really knew me, they wouldn't love me. So all of that released. So when you do emotion release therapy, it's released. You don't need to do anything else.
Well, so I'm just curious, like, how it works. Cause I mean, this is it sounds similar in a way to internal family systems in a way, as far as like, what is the process of, what does this look like? What, like, you determining those things, like, what is that process? Like, what? Yeah. I'm just curious a little bit more.
So it's muscle testing. Usually the practitioner will use this muscle test. So if I say, so our subconscious mind can speak kinetically, right? So I say, my name is Andrea. Mm-hmm. This is a yes. Mm-hmm. My name is Andrea.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So this is how they say the yes, no. And then there's like a feelings chart they'll use to grab the feelings, to grab the beliefs. They're able to ask with muscle testing. And quantum entanglement is how you're connected. And you can do this therapy virtually. And also, I want to just say for people who are listening that are and curious about this, this isn't to replace any talk therapy that you're doing. That is all needed. That all that processing is needed, definitely. But then this is like the cherry on top.
It's somatic. I mean, obviously trauma is healed somatically. But so I'm saying where like these beliefs that you notice, like the practitioner is just randomly asking you like, how did you identify those specific things? Were you doing that in session? Like
yes,
at 5 years old and it was done through talking. You're like, I think that this is one of the limiting beliefs that I hold.
Yeah. Yes. They ask a series of questions with the muscle testing.
But is that based off stuff that you've told them, or they already have like a list of questions as far as like, how do you feel about money?
Chart. Okay. It's a chart. It's a chart. It's got different columns. So they're able to easily get to.
Interesting.
Like they'll say, is a column A or column B, and then they'll be able to narrow it down quickly based on the chart. And there's an emotion code chart and a body. And I'm not trained in this, by the way. Like, this is just me knowing a little bit because I've had sessions of this. But yeah, I am reading the emotion code book so I can get a better understanding of it, because I want a 100% full understanding of this, because this is something that I definitely want to
implement. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then prior to starting like this, this modality, is there any background or history taken, or do you just start immediately with going through these different testings?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You don't need to process all the things. And then also, like, for instance, when I explained the I hate money, like, I don't have to go into the nitty gritty details. Yeah. They're just able to say, okay, yes, that is the one.
And then when is the age thing determined? They're like, how old do you feel? How old does that feel?
Yeah, okay. They'll say, was she 1 through 10? And then if it's yes, they'll move up age groups, and then they can continue asking until they target the age.
Okay. And so we've identified these, then what is the actual process of somatically releasing the emotions? What does that look like?
Yes. So they hold a magnet and they go over I can't remember the name of this meridian, but this is the meridian. And then I also like to do it myself with them. Okay. As they're releasing it, I'm doing it on myself. And
with a magnet or with your hand?
Just with my hands. I don't use anything.
And what is that doing? Explain what the fuck that's doing.
That is releasing the energy. That's letting it go. And I feel, I remember the first session I ever did, I felt the release come up off my chest. I felt it physically. Like, I remember after a session, for me, everybody's reaction is different, but I will feel very light and the session energizes me. It can be different for other people. It could make you really tired. And, you know, it depends probably too on what's being released. But in my experience, I always feel very light, happy, and energetic. I feel always really good after a session. Like a load has been let go.
Was there crying?
Sometimes, yeah, I definitely will get emotional. Like, I know I've done like lots of work. And so in this belief code specific session, when I was releasing those things, I was like, I was crying with relief. Like, oh, there was something lingering still. And now I was able to release it.
Yeah, because the thing that's interesting to me, I'm just like, you know, thinking about it, as far as like with a lot of this stuff, there being like no quick fix, and how so much of this is like requires grieving and like actual like tears coming up. And I'm wondering, yes, like if there's some sort of like, I don't know, is it like a bypass in that, in a way, you know?
No, this is why I was saying this. I don't think that this would ever replace any type of therapy that's working for someone.
Yeah.
Right. But it would be an add-on to definitely help release anything that's come up. And especially if you're, you know, you've just processed it. Of course, there's going to be some grief and some things. And all of our emotions hold a different, you know, they're a different frequency. And mm-hmm. we want to be vibing, if you will, high, mm-hmm. shame being the lowest of the frequencies.
So do you think that this is some, okay, so, okay, let's say you've identified these beliefs, like the money one or whatever. Is it always being addressed in one session? Like, would you just cover that one, or would it be multiple sessions before you'd actually be able to have it released?
No, it's done after that session. Now, the next session I do is going to come up with different things.
Okay. And is it always the same process of the same questions that they're asking you each time?
They ask what I need today. So for this session, you know, would emotion code, body code, or belief code be helpful today? That's not how they ask it, but they say, is emotion code helpful today? And for this session, it was, is belief code helpful today? It was a yes.
Can you explain what emotional code is and body code?
Yeah. So the emotion code is all of them speak to the subconscious mind. So emotion code, we are lifting feelings. So they're in my belief code session, there were emotions released as well.
Yeah, well, I would think there'd all be, I would think all those would connected. Be connected. I mean, I would think emotion, belief, and body is all one. Yeah.
But that day, I was ready to start with belief. And that's only because, so the belief code is like the symbol of a tree. Mm-hmm. And she told me the reason we can start with belief code today is because you've loosened the soil, basically, to do so. So that requires a lot of work, right?
Why? Meaning the work that you had done prior to coming to see her.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I wonder if this is a type of work that like would be most beneficial for somebody who's already, you know, been doing some recovery or healing work.
Yes. For people who are in long-term recovery, this would be a absolute wonderful modality. In fact, that's why I created Quantum Recovery Reset. It's for people who are in long-term recovery. Because in my long-term recovery, I was not feeling good health-wise. I was I had major gut issues. I had the inability to lose weight. I didn't know I was leptin resistant. I didn't know what was happening. I had such anxiety over whenever I would have to eat food. We have to eat every single day. I didn't have allergies. It wasn't like that. It was going to upset my stomach. I was just always having diarrhea, basically, with things that would just upset me. And I had to learn how to really nourish my body and really heal my body. And it has everything to do with our light environment. So this is the emotion code stuff. That is one.
Before we move into a broader design, I just want to ask, so can you explain to me what body code would be? Like, what would they be asking you?
Yeah. So there was some body code actually in, but I, I can't.
Okay,
I can't
I'll really just look it up.
Yeah, you'll have to look it up.
Okay, so let's backtrack. You said if anyone's intimidated by this word, it just means the small stuff, but that still doesn't make any fucking sense to anybody. So what do we mean by like quantum healing, quantum recovery? Like talk to us like we're 2 years old, please.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm calling like my course is quantum recovery because quantum is looking at things at a subatomic level. So electrons, neutrons, protons type of thing. Okay. So the biologists with quantum biology, the biologists started talking to the physicists. They were never talking before. This only happened like, I don't know, 13 years ago or something like that. So some of this science isn't even in textbooks yet. In fact, the Nobel Prize for the circadian rhythm was only won in 2017. That's not that long ago. So quantum biology is a study of light, water, and magnetism, and it's about the healing of the mitochondria. So to back up to the physicist talking to the biologist, they used to think that, you know, physics couldn't happen in a wet system being inside of our body. And now we know that it's definitely things are happening. Things are happening at a subatomic level in our body. And, you know, specifically the focus is on the mitochondria. So if you don't know what the mitochondria is, we are an organism and we have an organ system and all of the organ system is made up of organs. Our organs are made up of tissues and our tissues are made up of cells and every single cell inside has what's called organs. So they're, I think that word is just so cute. So the organelles are.
Organelle Ray, that should be your like, yeah. or like this should be the eighth sibling. We'll put two E's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Organelle.
Nelly, cute. So the little organelles are inside the cells. So they're the organs of the cells. And one of the most important organs of the cells is the mitochondria. And that is where we make our energy. So this is also where inflammation happens in the body. Inside the mitochondria is what's called an electron transport chain. And the swelling of that chain is what is in any chronic disease, no matter what chronic disease you're talking about. That swelling, that inflammation, that's where it's happening. It's happening in the mitochondria. Now, the more healthy our mitochondria are, the more efficient our body is going to be. And the way that we heal our mitochondria is pretty simple. It is connecting with nature. It's playing by Mother Nature's rules. It's making sure we get natural light. And the thing is we wouldn't even be having these conversations 140 years ago because 100 years ago is when the light bulb was invented. And that's artificial light. And nowadays, we are living in a modern world. We're all living 90% of our time indoors with artificial light and also non-native electromagnetic frequencies being our Wi-Fi and whatnot. And that actually sucks the water out of our mitochondria. It makes our mitochondria make water and our computers and devices are high dehus. So basically, I teach people in recovery how to heal their mitochondria. So this is the thing. So, you know, in the first 2 years of recovery, we all go through post-acute withdrawal syndrome. Post-acute withdrawal syndrome is, you know, various symptoms. And a lot of it is like some really common ones for those of you who don't know are things like sleep, irritability, mood swings, cravings. Basically, they're abstinence-based these are symptoms we are experiencing in our early recovery. And early recovery, just for definition, is the first 2 years by this definition.
Okay.
So the thing is artificial light or blue light toxicity, the symptoms of blue light toxicity are the same symptoms as pause. That's a problem. So basically, if you're in early recovery, you're scrolling your phone at midnight, getting that bright blue light in your face, you are mimicking, like that bright light is like mimicking UV rise and is telling your body, oh, it's noon. And that's not what time it is. And if we want to heal if we want to balance our hormones, if we want to balance our neurotransmitter pathways and make sure those things are happening at the right time, so we can actually sensitize our dopamine again and start to feel better, we got to get the right light signals, which means we need sunrise in our eyes in the morning, not to be scrolling our phone before sunrise.
Seriously, man.
So there are little things that we can do. So the biggest needle mover
is that what are your glasses part of that?
Yes. So I actually normally would open my window, but there's a planes go over my house and they're very loud. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want it to disrupt our sound. So I have my blue blockers on right now and I also have.
So it would be okay if you had natural sunlight coming in?
It would be okay if my window was open because the natural light spectrum would come in. So the natural light spectrum, basically our gold standard of light, the Chanel of light, if you will, the best light we can get is broad spectrum light, which is natural light. And you also...
So does it count if I can see out my window? The window actually has to be open or no? It
happens to be open.
Okay.
And that's a great question, Andrea, because our windows are blocking the really healthy near infrared light and the UV light, and that's the healing light we want. So the light, when the window is shut, it's just letting in that
I'm blue. Fucked. Sitting inside all day looking at my computer on my phone.
Well, there's things we can do, and that's what I teach people. It's not all doom and gloom.
Hmm. So are we mostly focused around light here? Is this like the heaviest emphasis here in this quantum recovery world?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know, everything's quantum. Everything has frequency and vibrates. So technically everything's quantum. We are
How
living
did you get exposed to this?
Good question. So I actually, when I first started counseling, I also opened up a fiber art business. And because of that business, I met a coach who taught me about toxin-free living. She taught me about the importance of like blacking out my room when I'm sleeping, because any little bit of light will actually stop melatonin from releasing. We want melatonin to release. So that's a hormone that helps us sleep, but it's actually made in the day. Mm-hmm. So melatonin, I wanted my melatonin to work. And at the time, I didn't even realize how restorative and crucial it was. But when we have that bright blue light in our eyes at night, our eyes actually rising instead of our melatonin kicking on. So this is why we have to block the blue light with glasses, or you can put, you know, there's an app, there's settings on your phone you can change to make your screen red or whatever. So it's not like there's things that we can do to mitigate the blue light and the signaling so hormonally we are signaling the correct pathways so we can get good sleep. I can't remember the
How did you find out? How did you get exposed to all this shit? So
that was the first exposure I had to it, but I actually didn't know that it was quantum.
Okay.
And then I was following an account because I was eating like keto and carnivore at the time, because remember I was like always trying to find like the right way I was supposed to eat, like yo-yo dieting for pretty much my whole life until about 4 years ago. And then her journey actually, so it was Sarah Kleiner is her name. So her old account was called Carnivore Yogi. And I was following her, and she started talking about light and quantum. And that's where I really got introduced to it and started realizing a lot of different things. And then I got certified in it myself, and here I am now making the connections specifically with addiction. Cause you know, I've been an addiction counselor for a while, and I want to scream this stuff from the rooftops, because people are having like, you know, I teach this to small groups and they are loving the information. So I did create a course to learn this and because I think that it's helpful for anyone in recovery, in especially long-term recovery. Like I didn't realize how unhealthy I actually was. And there's people, implementing these protocols and who are putting in cancer and like autoimmune in remission and great. I'm so grateful. Like that was not part of my story, but what I was able to do is I was able to learn about what really nourishes my body. And oh my gosh, has it been so much freedom I don't have to chase a diet anymore or follow a protocol. Like what? I can just eat food. Once we have an understanding.
I just eat food.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I can just eat as long as it's whole food and it's real food. I can have anything I want. And our gut microbiome changes with the seasons. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's basically just following Mother Nature's rules. And again, we wouldn't be talking about this like 100 years ago because people were doing this back then, right? Mm-hmm. Now we have like all this processed food and we're living in a processed world basically. And we have junk light, just like we have junk food. And I want to teach people how to stay away from the junk light so you can heal your body much faster than, you or I went through. I think this will it will help people so much. And there's not a lot of studies around post-acute withdrawal. Like there's not a lot of research and, rightfully so, like there's so many different symptoms. So, but if we look at like we can look at like anxiety or sleep or whatever, like you can go in PubMed and just put circadian health or circadian rhythm and addiction, put anything and a quantum topic like circadian health and addiction, and you're going to find research about the different symptoms. So it's really cool. We know that this works. It's not just something we're pulling from nowhere.
Well, what I'm thinking, I feel pretty good mostly. I mean, but I'm on my phone all fucking day long, all day long, playing Candy Crush, doing shit, sitting inside, windows not open. I mean, how good could I possibly feel? And it sounds like a bunch of crap, but I know it's not, but it sounds like it's a bunch of crap. So okay. So for me, somebody who's on my phone all day long, on the computer, inside, what are the smallest things that I can implement that will make the biggest difference?
The most beneficial thing you could do is make sure when you wake up in the morning that you're getting sunrise in your eyes.
Okay, so Andrew Huberman's talked about this, I think. But...
Yes. So sunrise. Okay. So the three biggest needle movers for people in recovery are sunrise, UV rise, which is what happens right after sunrise. And there's an app so you can understand when UVA rise is. And basically it's the sunrise or it's the sunlight after sunrise. And that's anywhere, depending on the season, around 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. So if you're going to go on a morning walk, that would be a wonderful time because that's when our neurotransmitter pathways are being signaled by that UVA light. And then the biggest...
Well, let's say I'm not going on a walk. What do I need to do?
That's the third thing. So what I teach people is if you're not going to let's say you're just, that's not your sleep schedule yet. And you're not doing that. It's blocking the blue light at night. So it's getting yourself a pair of blue blocking glasses. So on my Quantum Pages website or on my website, andiara.com, there's a tab called Quantum Pages. And this is exactly what it's for. It's to make sure people have access to the right resources. So there's a few brands that I trust because they do the research and they're not just painted with the color. They're actually fully tinted glasses because if you were to scratch the glasses, it's not really good to just go on Amazon and type in blue blockers and then buy whatever ones. You definitely want to get them from a trusted brand. Midwest Red Light Therapy is great because they are really reasonably priced. I think they're like $40. And the ones that I would start with, if somebody's on the computer all day.
What's it called? Midwest what?
Midwest Red Light Therapy. Okay. I can give you a link to share with people.
Okay.
Well, the ones I'm wearing right now, these are from a company called Raw Optics, and they're a little bit more expensive, but I also put my prescription in them and I absolutely love them. So this is the yellow, and then there's also orange blue blockers, and orange are the ones that you want to wear before sunrise and after sunset, because it's blocking the blue and the green, or it's blocking the whole entire blue spectrum and some of the green spectrum. And okay. then actual red lenses are going to block the entire blue and green spectrum. So,
in so the what way should I get to start?
So to start, I would like now looking back, like I would definitely start with the orange ones because those are the ones that are going to really protect you in the at nighttime. And also, so this is what I actually had red ones first. And when you wear red, right? Like, let's say the sun goes down. I put on my red glasses. Red is for right before bed. You will start to get sleepy. And also if you're winding down watching TV at night, you're going to look, it's going to look like you're watching black and white TV. It won't be as enjoyable because it's so red. So the orange ones are going to allow you to still be able to see some color range, you know? And because the reality is a lot of people will watch TV at night to wind down and nobody's saying that you don't go live in a cave and, you know, like no one's saying that. So
what about during the day? Like if you're somebody that's like looking on the computer, if you're on the computer all day long.
Yeah. So for the computer, the best thing to do is get Iris software. It's like $14 for life. And it's a software that you can actually control the amount of blue light on your screen. And then also, you know, you could get yellow lenses, but for like a really low cost, you can, for $14, you can block the blue light that's coming through from your computer screen.
With the yellow glass, or do those block it though, without having to do the software?
Yellow is just going to block blue. And that is going to, you know, I don't want to demonize blue light also. Blue light is naturally happening in the light spectrum during the day. So
for all you blue really... light lovers out there, don't be offended.
Yeah, so if you
blue light hater.
Window, if you crack your
I don't even know what the fuck it means anyway, so continue. The fuck is blue light? Keep going.
So if you open your window, mm-hmm. you open your window, you're letting in the full spectrum of light. Basically, you're letting in the rainbow. Think of it that way. And all of the invisible light spectrum that's very healing for our body. So if it's in the middle of the day, like you can just open a window and you're fine. You don't have to worry about block. You don't want to okay. wear blue blockers all day long. You want that blue light when you're supposed to get it, which is during, you know, like anywhere from like 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's a lot of blue light. Like that's a signal for us to, everything's a signal. Our nature is a signal. So that light is a signal. It's telling you that, you know, it's time to release this or that. Like it is very, very, very important for us to be able to. Also, I want to say it's very important for us to be able to get natural light. So I also want to say that when you do go outside, if you're getting that sunrise in your eyes, you don't want to have contacts in. You want to have your bare eyes in the light because there's a little clock. So our circadian clock is right behind our eye. It's called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. And that's what's actually grabbing that light signal and then telling your brain to do X, Y, and Z. This is all happening in your cells. All of our cells have a little tiny clock, but that signal from our eye is going to that master clock and then cascading throughout our body to tell it what to do. And if we can set ourselves up for those right hormonal pathways and those right neurotransmitter pathways that are supposed to be happening, oh man, we are going to set our health and our healing, our body becoming back online from our use. We're going to really set ourselves up for success.
But what about, I've been sober for 15 years.
Right. This is my point, Andrea. Yeah. Many of us have been sober for a very long time and we still don't feel good.
Yeah, but this should not be like, I mean, but to me, the stuff that you're talking about, it doesn't seem like it would just be like applicable just to people who are in recovery. Like, wouldn't this be applicable to everybody?
It's applicable to everyone. I'm just the first person in the space talking to people who are in recovery, telling them how much it can benefit them.
Okay, got it. So then, okay, what about for the phone? Like, are there good, because I'm just like thinking like, well, what about, I need a little block. I need a little like, because I wear glasses at night. I'm not really trying to buy new, like, is there a little like thing, like little shade things?
Like put on them? Yes.
Like a cover?
Yes. So the brand Spectra 479, they sell blue blockers that are called coveralls or something like that, where you just put it over your glasses.
What's the company you say?
It's Spectra 479. I can give you links.
Okay. And what's the best thing to do for phone?
So for phone, there is, you can just go on YouTube and just put in turning my phone screen red. So like right now, my phone screen is on full. And then basically after you change the settings, you're going to be able to click your phone, the button on the side here, three times, and then you'll get a pop-up window at the bottom. And I'm able, with one button, able to change my phone screen red.
So, and like, why don't you just have it on that all the time?
Because in the daytime, there's no need. And I'm not a person that is on my phone like all day long. And it's,
but if you were, should you have it on all day?
No, because remember, blue light during the day, if it's out in Mother Nature, you know, you don't need to be blocking it, but you can, you know, dim it so it's not as bright. This is the thing. So this, a second ago, you said, what the hell is blue light? So blue light is basically the spectrum that they've honed in on to save energy. So you know how we have like the LED bulbs and all of that? That is what is actually keeping this is what's detrimental to our health, is that focused blue light. That focused blue light is very stimulating. Last time I checked, we shouldn't be stimulating our sympathetic nervous system on a constant, right? And also for healing to happen in the body, our parasympathetic nervous system has to be able to be turned on. Okay. We can't be in a constant state of stimulus. And that is what blue light is doing. It's keeping us stimulated. And in fact, there's research that shows it raises glucose. My God, you don't even have to eat a cookie. You just get blue light and it can raise your blood glucose. Like this is.
But I want to eat the cookie.
Yeah. Right. I'd rather have the cookie than, you know, sugar from the blue light. So this is why we call it junk light, when it's concentrated into the blue spectrum. So if you remember in kindergarten, you know, we learned about the rainbow, Roy G. Biv. Mm-hmm. So this is the visible light spectrum that we can see with our eyes. And when so what they did to save energy, do you remember the old incandescent bulbs? They would get hot, right? Mm-hmm. That's because the color range in that was mostly in the red zone. So that was where that heat was coming from. And then they were like, well, that's wasted energy. We can change this. So I don't think that they were doing it vindictively, but the color spectrum they chose to focus on, the way our light bulbs save energy, is because it's focused on one color. And that color is blue. And that is actually a color that's very stimulating. And it actually, the research shows that it can lead to addiction behaviors too. So for people who don't even have, you know, addiction behaviors, like now there is an argument that everybody has some kind of an addiction. And I do believe that it's from the blue light that we are getting, on a constant basis from our screens, our TV, our phones. Everything is this concentrated blue light. And that blue light is very addictive.
So, you know? Like, high level, is the purpose and the benefit of all of this quantum shit to just make sure that our cells are regenerating? Is that ultimately what it comes down to?
We want our mitochondria to be optimized, because that is where we get our energy. So, you know, with my clients, like the most complaints where we would process in group was sleep and also fatigue. Everyone was always tired, always a 10 for the tired. 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. They were always, I'm a 10 with the sleep, I can't sleep and I'm tired. So they're wired and tired. A lot of people can really relate to being wired and tired. Yes. That is because of light, the wrong light signaling. So if we can, circadian health is what we're talking about. We are talking about.
Why don't you explain what circadian means for people who don't know?
Yes. So circadian health, it's our 24-hour clock. And every single signal that we get, even like when we eat food, that's also a circadian signal. We always want to eat food when it's light outside and, you know, getting the.
I love eating in bed at night.
I used to be a big snacker at night.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this is a lot of behavioral change and it can be really overwhelming for people. And that's why I created the Quantum Recovery Reset, so I can explain things in small doses to people so they can just start doing the things that are most needle moving. And that is getting as much sun as we can, as much full spectrum light, like go outside. And a bonus, so to hit on that magnetism topic, mm-hmm. a bonus is like bare feet on the earth, because that's how we collect electrons, because we are voltage, we are electric, and we want to actually be negatively charged. And the way we become more negatively charged is by collecting electrons. And that also keeps the health of our mitochondria functioning correctly, is when we can collect those electrons. We collect electrons from a lot of things. In fact, we collect electrons from people, when we hug and snuggle our pets, when we are in natural water like the ocean or a lake or a stream or whatnot, when you touch a tree, when you're just getting that natural sun in your eyes, that natural light spectrum. And also, I keep saying sun, it can be cloudy outside and you can go outside and you're still getting that full spectrum light in your eyes. That signal is so, so important for us to be getting, you know, just like when we take smoke breaks. I was a smoker for many, many years. I would always take smoke breaks. Now I take light breaks. I go outside, when I'm during my work day and I'm working, I get at least 10 minutes of every spectrum. And when I'm not working, I'm outside like as much as possible.
Okay. Were there any other things that like you think that we should touch upon that you think is important for this that we should talk about like later?
I think just to recap, the biggest needle movers are sunrise in the eyes in the morning, and then UV rise, because that's hormonal pathways and neurotransmitter pathways, getting the right signaling. And then blocking the blue light at night is a great place to start, because that will start to align your circadian rhythm.
Okay. And so do you think that is this light component like the most important aspect as it relates to this quantum healing?
I think it is because it's one of the biggest toxins in our environment is junk light. And it's something we don't think about. We go from talking about like, you know, all these drugs that can kill us and how long we use them. And then from like light bulbs, like now you're telling me my light bulbs aren't good.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, right?
Yes.
I remember just learning about this and just being like, it took a little bit for me to wrap my brain around it. And that's okay. This is exactly why I'm teaching this to people.
Okay. Yeah. We're back. This is part two. I had to go get my hair done yesterday, folks. So we're just wrapping this up today. And I asked her yesterday about body code, and now she has an answer for us.
Yes. So the body code realigns the physical body and helps identify like the root cause of the physical and emotional discomfort. But in a session, you will very likely, if the practitioner is certified in all three, they would be able to touch on all three depending on your needs and what's showing up in the moment. So energetically, it's always going to be different.
And so the big topic is the whole thing is called emotion
code.
Oh, emotion I thought it was code. Emotional release.
Oh, it's a type of emotional release therapy.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
So like what the hell else? What are other types of emotional release therapy?
This is the only one I've really been exposed to. I don't want to speak or, you know, shed light on something I don't know much about, but quantumly, this one made sense to me. So it's the one I kind of dove into with open arms.
Yeah. I wonder if it's, Okay. Okay. So I wanted to talk with you about, so what are you seeing as far as like impact and results from implementing these quantum techniques?
Yeah. I want to say first, like it's a long game. So, you know, this is stuff that I'm going to tell you some things, and I want everybody to like, I don't want people listening to get overwhelmed because the thing I help people with too is taking these things in small strides. Because once you develop one habit, it's really easy to just incorporate another one and start layering things on. But basically, the biggest needle movers for me has been just my sunlight practice. So making sure I get all the four different types of sunlight in my eyes as much as I can. Not every single day is perfect. There's definitely days like when I'm working and I'll forget to take a light break and, you know, but for most days I get all of it. And then also I do ancestral eating. So basically what that means is I eat really nutrient dense food, and I eat whole food that's local and in season. So pretty much I eat from my farmers and the farmer's market.
Do you ever have pizza?
I don't eat processed food very
ever.
Often.
Ever?
No, I will indulge in it every so often, but it's not on a daily. On most days, pretty much all the time.
Yeah, not on a daily. I don't know. I just wanted to know if like every once in a while you would have like, you know, it's
and I enjoy those when I do get them, but the on a regular daily
basis. Yeah, I understand that. I just wondered, I didn't know if like you would ever have a cheat.
Yeah. Well, I don't like to call it a cheat. It's just living, right?
Yes.
I used to use that word and it wasn't.
Sorry, that's promoting diet culture, folks.
It's
sorry.
Serving me. Sorry. No, it's okay. You don't need to apologize. Some people would still call it a cheat and that's okay. But yeah, it for me, that implies that I did something bad and I carry carry guilt and shame over the food that I ate. And there's literally, which you probably know, studies that show that does affect us when we're eating, right? And then the other thing that I do, yes. Oh yeah, I do. That is one of the most nutrient dense bioavailable protein. Yeah, that's number one. So, okay. So sunlight, ancestral eating, I block blue light at night. And then I do my best to mitigate non-native EMFs, which is like my Wi-Fi and things like that. So I have healthy practices around that. Now I'm going to tell you, because I thought about this and I'm like, what have I actually benefited from? So, or what have I noticed like in my health? So one thing, I used to have chronic hair fall. Oh. I was one of those people to go in the shower and just, I had
lose it all.
Yep. And I don't have hair loss anymore.
Will you tan?
Yes, actually. So you're looking at me tan. Yeah, I do have a tan now. And it'll get darker when we're in the middle of summer. But yeah, I already noticed I get color quite quickly when the sun comes back here.
Did
in the
you
Pacific
not need to wear sunscreen ever?
I don't wear sunscreen. No, okay. Especially not a chemical sunscreen.
Yeah.
If I ever were to need a sunscreen, I would remove myself from the sun instead, or put a hat on, or I mean, I have tallow-based physical sunscreen and I don't ever use it. I have it in case I need it, but I never use it.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know what tallow-based is. What does that mean?
Tallow is beef fat, and so it absorbs into the skin. It's the same kind of, it matches chemically like the sebum in our own skin,
okay.
And it's nutrient dense. And so the tallow sunscreen has like a zinc based, like a mineral based sun. So, you know, mineral based suns, they are the ones that show on our skin. They don't rub in very well.
Yeah.
So a physical barrier, I hardly ever need that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it. Oh, I used to get kidney stones. Haven't had a kidney stone. Haven't actually been sick. I can't even remember the last time I was sick. Never got COVID during COVID. Never got sick during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the last time I was trying to think. When was the last time I was sick? I couldn't think of the last time I was sick. I don't get mood swings, PMS-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get mood swings. And I historically have had very bad cramps. And I still do have cramps, but they're not as bad.
Uh-huh.
I just had an inability to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always kind of carried this extra 20 pounds that would never go away. And that just kind of over time, it just kind of like
naturally.
Went away. Uh-huh. And I don't like lift a ton of weights all the time. I don't go to the gym and work out a ton. Walking is my main thing that I do.
Uh-huh.
And I'll lift weights like 3 times a week. It's not an everyday thing. I don't have a need for supplements. Don't take any because I'm eating nutrient dense food and I don't need to eat any supplements or take any supplements. So all of this kind of different way of living has actually shifted my value system, where I actually was a major shopaholic into my recovery, like big time. I had
clothes or what?
Yeah. Clothes. I was a makeup artist in my active use. I was a makeup artist. So don't wear a full face of makeup ever. I can't remember the last time I put foundation on my face. I don't.
Do you use like creams and stuff?
I use Living Libations, which is oil, lots of oils. Yeah, I love Living Libations. My favorite. It just smells so good.
Did you get your husband on board? Does he do all of this stuff now too?
It took him a little time to warm up because, you know, our house is lit different in the evening. And at first he was kind of like, whatever, but then slowly he warmed up to it. And now he has blue blockers. He'll sometimes like wear them when he doesn't need to be. Like we'll be outside and he'll have them on. And so I'm still kind of teaching him some things, but this is good for me to actually observe, because then I can make sure that I, when I'm sharing with people about blue blockers, I can make all these things really clear. Like, when would you not need them on? Well, you definitely don't need them on if you're outside. You want, that's the light we want to get, right?
has he noticed health changes?
He definitely has noticed he sleeps better. Mm-hmm. That is probably one of the quickest things you will notice if you start blocking blue light at night is your sleep. Yep. Okay. And your mood too. Your mood. Yeah, I used to get headaches pretty frequently. Don't really get headaches anymore. And my hair and nails grow. For a long time, my hair wouldn't really grow past around this area of my shoulder.
Well, it fell out. Yeah,
and now it's growing. I poop regularly. And yeah, so those are the big ones. I don't need an alarm clock. I wake up with the sunrise. I don't need that. And I don't have a lot of cravings for sugar like I used to. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, definitely took time to, I think that was like probably the hardest addiction is that sugar addiction. Sure. But yeah, the shopping, like that kind of like started to fade away naturally. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I was doing anything to be like, got to make sure I'm not shopping. It's just my value system changed in such a way. I didn't feel like I needed to go do those things. My life got to be more on the minimalist kind of side.
So tell everybody about your course, your podcast, whatever you want to promote.
So I just released my first course. It's called the Quantum Recovery Reset, where I teach you about light environment. This is the foundational pieces that people need to understand. And I got really excited yesterday when we were talking. I was kind of all over the place. So if people are confused, I apologize, but this is exactly why I have the course, is because it gives you everything in the order of which it makes the most sense. And yeah, my website is andiaray.com and my podcast is called Quantum Recovery. And so I touch on a lot of topics, and I am in the midst of building the research that I find for every single topic in recovery. Mm-hmm. So I'm the first person who graduated from the Quantum Biology Institute that is specialized in addiction. That's looking so cool. At addiction through a quantum lens. Yeah. It's really fun. And so I'm building a research library to gather all the things. So in the future, I hope to kind of like break down like every single thing. DOC and what that looks like. And yeah, just really dive into it. And there's a lot of research out there about how, you know, circadian rhythms, our 24-hour clock, is actually a study I just read. It said that if you have a substance use disorder, having your circadian rhythm aligned is going to actually prevent a return to use. It would help with that. And I just keep finding like little pieces, and it's so cool to put it all together for people. And I just really hope that the right people that need to hear this do, because a lot of the things I'm talking about, like yesterday, we talked a lot about like different kinds of blue blockers and things like that. But I just want people to know that the most impactful things are free. You don't need all these biohacking things. Like, it's just following Mother Nature's rules and going outside and just understanding like the underlying reasoning can be complex, but what we actually have to do, which is what most people just want to know, is just tell me what to do. That part is quite simple.